Thank you, Jeremy, and our worship team. Some of the songs that we sang this morning were songs that we sang this past weekend at our marriage retreat. We had a wonderful time together. 37 couples gathered together in Salado. Yeah. It was a wonderful time. We appreciated the leadership of Chad and Liz Patterson so much. They did a great job. We're excited that Chad is going to be presenting the word this morning. I know that you're looking forward to hearing from him. I first met Chad when we were at Baylor. Chad is Lisa's first cousin, so they kind of grew up together. But I met him when we were at Baylor. He was a baseball player, a starting catcher for the Baylor Bears, Sikkim Bears. And Chad, we're kind of a baseball town. Last year, our high school baseball team won the state championship. Our softball team went deep into the playoffs. This year, both the baseball team and the softball team are picked to be first again this year. And so we're excited. And Chad, we love you, man. Chad finished his bachelor's degree there at Baylor. He went on to get a master's degree in counseling. He has served in a number of ways. It's been exciting to watch Chad find ways in which to serve people and serve the Lord through the years. He was a teacher, counselor, wound up as executive director at one of our Baptist encampments, Buckner Camp. Went from there to be the executive director of a children's home not far from here. And now he is the executive director, I'm going to have to read this part, of the Crisis Assistance Center in Montgomery County, right? All right, great. He's also recently become certified speaker, trainer, and coach with the John Maxwell team. He is licensed to the ministry, and he and Liz are active members of their church in Montgomery. Chad, I'm talking too much. Come on. We want to hear from you.
Those of you at the marriage retreat know I'm the little kid that gets excited, and I can't tell you how hard my heart's beating. I'm not nervous. I'm excited. It's always good to be back with family. Lisa and I did grow up together and have a lot of great memories. And John, you've been a huge part of our life. And just before we dive into that, thank you, church family, for loving on my family. Y'all have been through a lot the last 3 years, right? And I'm so excited to hear that there's actual growth and revival and beauty coming out of literally ashes. So I applaud you as a church family, and I thank you for the way that you love these two dear people. So thank you for that. My beautiful bride is here, Liz. Thank you for being here, sweetheart. We're thankful for the opportunity. It's always a privilege to step into God's house, first of all, but secondly, to step into the pulpit. I take that very seriously. So, John, thank you for this opportunity. Let's start with a prayer. Lord, thank you for your undeniable love. Thank you for the songs that were sung this morning. Thank you for the worship band. Lord, we'll give them a hand clap in just a little bit. But Lord, we thank you that you're the reason that we sing. You're the why behind why we come to church. You're the why because it gives us something to sing about, Lord. You're the why behind life. And so God, I pray today, Lord, just get me out of the way, get in front of me, speak through me. Lord, help us hear from your word what you have to say about marriage. But Lord, more importantly, what you have to say about love. And how we're to love you with all our heart, and how we're to love others. Lord, we give you this time. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, so marriage retreat people, how many of you wanted to get up this morning and like send a funny text to somebody with some of the little symbol things, right? Sorry, inside joke, sorry. Try to eliminate those. Let me get back on schedule here. So we're going to talk about marriage. You know, and John captured it beautifully in the children's sermon. Yes, we're going to talk about marriage between man and wife today. But there's even a marriage that happened before that. And that's our relationship with Christ. And so let me just be real bold, right up front. If you don't have an active, living, breathing, living, daily relationship with Jesus, I double dog dare you to listen a little extra carefully today. Because that's frankly where it starts. The love that we have in Christ is the love that we can give to our spouse and to our family and to our kids. So that's my frame of reference this morning. So if you're not a follower, maybe you're a fan. If you're not a follower who's giving your heart to Christ, please pay attention today to the love and the grace and the forgiveness that can be yours today. Okay, so we're going to talk about marriage. There's a verse in the Bible in Matthew that we're going to look at in just a little bit, but I really want to talk. I guess most of the young people sit right over here, right? Okay, my favorite group of people. Okay, so how many times have you asked your parents why? Do any of you still ask why? Right? Okay, parents, how many times do our kids ask us why and then fill in the blank, right? What is sometimes our answer? Because. Right? Well, today we're going to talk about the why behind love. And there is a because, there is a reason why we do that. Purpose gives us a reason. Why do we come to church? Don't raise your hand. You came to church today because someone made you? You came to church today because that's just what you do on Sunday? You came to church today because your parents said you came to church, you can go do something fun this afternoon? Or you came to church today to put your heart at the altar in the feet of Christ to worship Him? There are a lot of different whys that drive our life. Is that a fair statement? I like to know why. I'm the hard-headed, little stubborn old man now. I want to know why. I ask why all the time. And sometimes I don't know why I don't get my way. But when I'm aligned up with the purpose that God's called me to, that gives me the strength and the commitment and the energy and the do-it-all-I-can attitude that helps me keep going, right? If there's not a why, we drift. If there's not a why, if it's raining, we don't go. Or if I don't feel like it, who cares? But if there's a why that drives us, if there's a mission that drives us, that gets us up every day to give our whole heart to Christ. There was a gentleman in our church in First Baptist Conroe. That's where I grew up. I was an ordained deacon there. My parents were married there. I mean, spiritually speaking, First Baptist Conroe is really where I grew up spiritually. And there was a man there. His name was Kiefer Engelhart. If he was alive today, he'd probably be about 110. And if he could, he'd still be at the door greeting people. And Kiefer was very active in the youth group. And he was one of those guys that just had a lot of wisdom. It's kind of like the E.F. Hutton. When Kiefer spoke, people listened. And Kiefer, I remember him saying this. He said, I go to church every day, rain or shine, no matter what, because I made that commitment when I was 12 years old. And he would be there in the rain. He would be there in the snow, even though it didn't snow very often. But he was there because of that why, that purpose, that mission that he made the commitment to as a young person. How many of you have mission statements at work? Right? I mean, how many exercises do we go through about mission statements, right? We can have a mission statement in Christ, and he's very clear about that in our marriages, and he's very clear about that in our relationships to him. Here's the why behind marriage. Matthew 6:33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Seek first what? Seek first God. It's all about him. It all starts with him. So my mission in marriage, if I'm going to be anything of value to my wife, who do I have to be right with first? I have to be right with the Father. And if I don't have that love, I cannot give anything of value to Liz that I don't have, right? If I don't have the love of Christ in me, what she gives is just something I manufacture. So I've got to be right with him first. I've got to be aligned with him first. I've got to pattern my life after Christ first. If I'm on the baseball field, if I'm in the drive-thru at Sonic, wherever, if I'm at the dinner table with my family, if I'm sitting down with an employee, I have to be aligned with the pattern and the character of Christ first. And that's really the mission that we have. It's real simple. If you remember the greatest commandment Jesus gave us, does anybody remember what that is? It's to love two people. It's in Deuteronomy. It's in Matthew. It's love who first? God, with all of our heart and our mind and our soul. That's part of our mission statement. And the second piece of that is to love who? Others. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm supposed to love you. God calls me to love you. That's so simple. I'm a simple guy. I'm the KISS principle. You know, keep it simple, silly. I don't like to say the word stupid, even though I act that way sometimes. Love God first. That's our mission. So we're going to look at that today as we look about marriage. But I don't want you just to think that this is just about marriage. Okay, remember the big picture here. Marriage is just one application of God's love and forgiveness. It is, to me, the perfect learning lab of how we show the world the gospel, though. Right? Has anyone ever heard the song by Mercy Me, Flawless? I love that song. Okay, so think about this intersection. A holy God who is perfect, loving a broken sinner like Chad. So in my love relationship with Christ, I go from brokenness to being flawless. That's an amazing picture. That's the gospel, that Christ died for me. While I was yet a sinner, Christ came and died for me, Romans 5:8 says. Now think about that in marriage. Think about that in any of our relationships. If you're like me, I'm not always flawless on planet Earth. I'm sometimes a very unlovable person. And so Liz and I have the choice as couples, married, to do our best to try to love each other and forgive each other like Christ loves us. That, in a nutshell, is the greatest commandment. Love God with all your heart and love others. And we're going to look at some ways to do that today. You know, it's interesting to me. I don't know. I don't know where you get your view on the world from. I do watch TV. I'm not the old-fashioned guy that says TV's from the devil, even though there's a lot of devil in TV. Is that a fair way to say it? So think about how you spend your time. Kiddos, I'm really not trying to be preachy this morning. No offense, John. But think about what you allow in. It's so true. We are what we eat. They still have those posters up at school? I eat a lot of donuts and sugar, and you can tell, right? We are what we eat. We are what we put in. Think about TV. Think about the internet. Think about your cell phone. Okay, I was joking with the group this weekend that most of us, I know you can't tell because of the glare, but I'm starting to get kind of a bluish tint on my face some days because I spend so much time with my face and my phone. Right? Look at your neighbor and see if they're getting blue yet. What are we allowing in? What do we put into our mind, to our heart? Because we do become that. You know, kiddos, how many times have your parents say, now watch out for the group that you hang out with because they're going to influence you? Are parents still saying that these days, kids? Okay. It's true. Adults, same thing for us, right? We become who we hang out with. We can become who we spend time with. We do become what we put in. So what are we putting in? Do I spend more time watching TV, or do I spend more time in God's Word? That's kind of a church thing to say, right? We should be reading our Bibles. But think about it. What do we do that feeds us? What are we allowing in? What's influencing us? That's a huge part that influences our character and our heart. And so the world's view of marriage is, if you look at it on TV, it's all about sex and lust and temporary pleasure and whoever comes in the door next, man, I'm after them, right? Is that God's view of marriage? I don't know I may offend somebody, I don't mean to. I like to be a little provocative, though. Like the whole Bachelorette show and the Bachelor show and all that kind of stuff. Is that really God's design for marriage? I mean, think about it. I haven't experienced that. I don't want to experience that. It's temporary. It's flesh. It's today. It's emotional driven stuff, right? But God has a very specific plan about marriage. It starts in Genesis 2 and it runs all throughout the Bible. And we're going to look at some of those characteristics today. But God's design for marriage is mission. He has a mission. He wants us to reflect His heart to the world. He wants us to show His unconditional love to the world. He wants us to show forgiveness that reconciles brokenness. He wants us to see the sacredness of the covenant that Jesus paid the price for on the cross. Now I'm going to try to figure out this little clicker deal. Okay, so we had three aspects of marriage that we talked about at the retreat. And the first one was attitude. Okay, so I know all the adults in the room have perfect attitudes, so I guess I better talk to the kids, right? No, come on. We all have room to grow in our attitude. Attitude for me is posture. It's how I posture myself. It's how I receive people. It's how I receive life. We challenged a group to think about their attitude and how do they receive people. Are we defensive or are we receptive? There are a lot of different attributes of attitude that I'd like for us just to consider. And one of the best frames of reference, I think, is Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Just look at some of these characteristics or virtues, if you will, of the attitude that Jesus calls us to have. This is in Colossians 3. This is the NIV version. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Again, it starts with His love for us. Clothe yourself with compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We could just stop there and talk for days, right? So how many of us have that muscle of compassion alive in our life? I call them muscles because we have to choose to practice them. How many of us respond with compassion? How many of us are drivers and we show compassion on 35? Is that challenging for anybody? How many of us show kindness to one another at home? Is that just our immediate response? Is that the muscle that we've worked to where that's how we respond? Is that our default, if you will? What about humility? Okay, guys, I can pick on guys because I is one, right? How many of you struggle with pride? Do we have a prideful posture with our kids, with our wife? Or do we have a posture of humility? What's the picture that Christ painted for us on that? He was humble, right? Now, I'm not talking about being a doormat. I'm talking about the position of strength. When we recognize that our love from the Father gives us value, no one else can really give us that. So when I humble myself, that's a position of strength. How many of us have that posture with our kiddos, with our parents, kids? I love you because you're our future. And I want you to hear these things because you can start practicing this good stuff now. It doesn't happen when you graduate. It doesn't happen when you go off to college. But these are characteristics of your heart that you'll take with you forever. Gentleness. Patience. Ow. How many of you would consider yourselves masters of patience? Okay, don't elbow your neighbor or your spouse or anything, right? How is patience an attitude? Okay, so how many of you get frustrated when you don't get your way? I've already confessed I pout when I don't get my way. Or how many of us get impatient with people? Hypothetically speaking, right? Is that the posture of Christ? Okay, let's flip roles a little bit. I'm before Jesus. Do I want Him to be patient with me? Absolutely. I give Him plenty of practice. Do I want Him to approach me with gentleness? Absolutely. So it's real simple. We look in the mirror of Jesus' heart, and He wants us to reflect the same heart He has. He wants us to love people the same way He loves us. He wants us to have the same attitude that He has with us. It's not rocket science, right? What makes it hard to do? For me, it's my selfishness. For me, it's my self-centeredness. But Jesus came to reconcile that. And He tells me, Chad, clothe yourself with an attitude like me. Now, kids, I don't know if you have friends that get on your nerves. Any of you have friends that get on your nerves? No? Really? Wow. We need to move to West. This is amazing. Adults, do you have any coworkers that get on your nerves? Spouses, don't answer that. It's very applicable, right? We're talking about marriage, but the bigger picture is our relationship with Christ and how we relate to others. The Patterson family, and I do want to, again, I just love John and Lisa so much. And we came from our dads were Cherokee Indian. They were pretty feisty and stubborn and hard-headed, and they were tough. But they had a very gentle spirit. Now, they would bust our tails when we needed it, but they always had a very tender heart and a very gentle spirit. And for me, my Uncle Ralph, my Uncle Tommy, they all reflect the gentleness and the humility of Jesus. I'm very blessed by that. And so I hope you've had a taste of that. Now let's talk about one other virtue that's so easy to do. In verse 13, bear with each other and forgive one another. How in the world is forgiveness an attitude or a posture? I don't know about you, but I give Liz plenty of opportunities to practice forgiveness. Right? Just being real. I've given my kiddos, we're a blended family, we have 5 kids, 4 grandkids. I've given my kids plenty of opportunities to practice forgiveness. Why do I forgive? What allows Chad to forgive? It's because I've been forgiven, right? I'm convinced that I cannot do what I've not experienced firsthand, like forgiveness. If I haven't experienced the real forgiveness of Jesus, how in the world am I going to forgive someone for cutting me off the road? How am I going to forgive someone for hurting my feelings? I mean, think about what Christ has had to do to forgive me. That keeps it in perspective for me. And that's the attitude he wants us to clothe ourselves with. We have to choose what we wear for the most part, right? We get up and we dress ourselves. It's an intentional action every day. He wants us to do that with our attitude. It's our posture. Put these on like clothes. And over all these virtues, put on love. Now, if you're like me, there were days I didn't want to go to practice, but I knew I had to, and my heart was probably halfway in it, right? There are days I don't want to go to work, but I know I have to because I need a paycheck and I've got to provide for my family. There are days I have to sit at the table and have dinner. I'd rather be watching a Baylor football game. So attitude is not a checklist. If it is, it's just acts. It's about that deep. But if it comes from a pure heart, from a place of understanding where that love and that forgiveness comes from, where that source of these virtues comes from, then it becomes our DNA. It becomes who we are. I mean, are you ever around people that just kind of fake it? Have you ever been around people that just kind of go through the motions? You know, we were talking about forgiveness. And so one of the things we would talk to our kiddos about is, are you sorry that you got caught? Or are you sorry that you're wrong? There's a difference, right? Are you loving people just to get through the day? Or are you loving people with a genuine, deep heart? I'm guessing most of us know the difference, right? When it's just a checklist versus a choice someone's making. So I encourage all of us, as we think about our attitude, it can become who we are. It's not a checklist, but it's who we are inside our heart. So attitude, posture. You know, what was the guy's name that said, I pity the fool? What was his name? Mr. T. He had an attitude, right? Did you always hear his attitude, or did you feel it sometimes? You feel attitude. People can tell when you're genuinely concerned. So make it real. Make your attitude like Christ. Make it real. Let's talk about affection. Wow. So we talk about love. One of the songs talked about God's great affection. You know, guys, in Ephesians chapter 5, it gives us a great picture of how we're to love our wives. And ladies, I don't know if you've ever read the book Love and Respect. Has anyone ever read that book? It's a great tool for relationships. It talks about how we're to love one another. The affection of Christ, for me, is really summed up in what he did for us. Love is a verb. Love is not a static feeling. Love is an action word. It's a verb. It's a choice. This is one of my favorite passages. If you haven't read 1 John, I know I'll read John a lot. It's a great book too. But 1 John has a lot. It's another love letter. And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, this is how God demonstrated his love for us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And then in verse 19, it says, we love because he first loved us. So again, if we think about forgiveness, if we've never tasted forgiveness from Jesus, how in the world am I going to have an attitude or a posture of forgiveness towards anyone, especially my spouse? How am I going to love Liz with a love that makes a difference if I don't have that love flowing in me and through me from Christ? I cannot give what I don't have. And if you don't hear anything else today, remember that Jesus has the love. He's the only source of love that's going to make a difference in your marriage, in your family, and on the planet. So how do we love each other? How do we choose love for one another? Especially when we have two sinful human beings, right? Is that always an easy thing to do? Kiddos, do you always feel just like this ooey-gooey feeling about your parents? Oh, they're the most wonderful people in the world, right? What grounds us in love? We have to remember that we've been loved. There's a book called The Five Love Languages. So if love's action, what does that look like? Well, we can give people words of affirmation. That shows love. Are we building people up or are we tearing them down? We can do acts of service. Kiddos, how many of you have chores at home? Nobody has chores. Man, we are definitely moving to West. This is awesome. Guys, how many of you chip in and help with chores around the house? There you go. Glad to see some hands raised. That's awesome. We can do acts of service. Kiddos, take your parents' car and go get it cleaned up. Parents, go do laundry for your kids. This is kind of earth-shattering stuff, right? What do we do as acts of service towards one another? For me, one of the greatest ways to love someone is to serve them. It can be little things. What about gifts? How many of us like to have gifts? There we go. Give a gift. It could be as simple as taking someone to eat. It could be as simple as a flower. It could be as simple as just a handwritten note. Quality time. When you look at your checkbook and when you look at your calendar, some people say that's how you demonstrate the priorities in your life. Think about that just for a second. If you were to pull out your checkbook or your ledger, however you manage your money and however you manage your calendar, the way you spend your time and the way you spend your money, research says, is an illustration of what you love, what you adore, what you give your life to. Think about that. So one of the ways to show love to someone is to give them some quality time. We live in a busy world, right? Do any of y'all find yourself coming and going and you just can't catch up? And it's just the way we have world set up right now. But find some quality time to spend with one another. And then physical touch. That's a definite way to show love to someone. Show them affection. Show them some love. Those are great ways to show love to one another. You know, again, think about the sincerity in your heart, though, when you show those actions. It can't be with a string. Those of us at the retreat remember strings, right? We can't do these acts of love because we want something. Love is unselfish. Love is sacrificial. Love is thinking about the other person, not yourself. Okay, so actions. Attitude, posture, love, affection, within the context of marriage, right? Liz's parents have been married 66 years, I think. My parents are pushing 60 years. That's a long time to practice attitude and affection, right? It's a beautiful picture, though, to still see that alive today in both of those couples. But it took choices. It took actions. Love doesn't just happen. Jesus initiated it, right? He sent. He gave. Forgiveness just doesn't happen. It has to be initiated, right? How many of us, when we're trying to live out life, would you say you have more of a passive spirit or a spirit that takes action? I mean, think about that for a second. When we think about having to deal with life, do you find yourself sitting back or do you find yourself going in? That relates to our attitude. That can relate to how we love people. I cannot imagine what y'all have had to deal with the last 3 years. Seriously. We've prayed for you. I think the last time we were here after the explosion, we had worship out on a trailer in a field. And we lived in Itasca at the time. Our windows shook, but not like it shook here. And I can't imagine the depth of courage and character and love an attitude that y'all have had to muster up collectively and individually. But I applaud you. I see mission here. You know, we talked about when we first started the mission behind what we do. Mission sometimes costs us our life, right? I mean, people chose to run into buildings. That was mission. You've chosen as a church family to not only stay together, but to grow, to have a revival after something like that is amazing. What drove that? For me, I see mission in you. I see heart in you. I see a love for the Lord in you. And I want to encourage you in that. Thank you for the example you're setting, not only to the community of West, but literally to the world. That's awesome. And I have no doubt that the Lord Jesus was the source of your strength during this time. You allowed his love in you to cause you to move in to life and not to sit back. Translate that same energy to your attitudes with your family, with your spouse, with your coworkers. The world needs the love of Jesus alive. We get to be the vehicles of that love. Kiddos at school, your hallways are desperately seeking love, an attitude that shows gentleness and humbleness and kindness. Take it to the hallways. You've got it. We have the keys. Unlock that. Parents, adults, and our families. You know, I'm convinced that we change the world first with ourselves. You know, we talked about it at the marriage retreat. We draw a circle around ourselves, and that's really the only person in the world we have any control over. This heart right here. So I change the world when I get this heart right. Because when I get this heart right with him, I can get my heart right with her. And then with my family. And then with my coworkers. Right? I'm convinced of that. It starts right here. So take the amazing amount of courage that you've shown collectively as a church and carry that into the world. Carry that into your homes with your attitude and with your affections for one another. It's that simple. Pass on the amazing love and the amazing forgiveness that we as followers of Christ have received. We've tasted it and we know it's good, right? When you have something good, don't you want to share it? I do. One of my favorite things to do is to be in God's house with God's people talking about his word. And he gives us such a clear roadmap here on what love is and what we're supposed to do with it. So as we think about actions, as we wrap up in just a little bit, think about your checkbook. Think about your calendar. How are you spending your time? How are you spending your treasure? Is it rooted in a desire to add value to others? Or is it all about you? You know, John mentioned I'm a Maxwell certified trainer, speaker, and coach. John Maxwell has written a ton of books. And he started off as a pastor, just a very godly man. Very, very good business principled resources, very applicable to life. And he has a law, he calls it the law of addition. And for me, this law really sums up a lot of what we're talking about today. When you think about loving people or forgiving people, if you look at the law of addition, it simply asks, are you adding value to your relationships? Or are you subtracting value from your relationships? We add value by serving others. It's a great law to think about. When you think about your attitude, when you think about the way you're loving people, when you think about the actions you're taking every day, are you adding value, making deposits, or are you subtracting value, making withdrawals? I make withdrawals. We all do. We're humans, right? But the goal is to love like Christ. The goal is to have the same attitude as Christ. And his attitude and his love adds total value. It's always on the upside with Jesus. And that's what the world needs, and we have it. And so the challenge is today to think about what actions can we take that will continue to show love to our family, to our spouses. We can have date nights. We can have family vacations when we can. But at least spend time together. Start simple. But start today. When you think about your attitude, I challenge you to look at what you're allowing in. Make sure God's word trumps everything else. Make sure godly fellowship trumps everything else. Make sure being together as brothers and sisters trumps everything else. When you think about your love actions, make sure it's not about you. Make sure it's through him about others. We have plenty of selfies going on in the world, right? Don't even raise your hand if you have a selfie stick, because I'm like, no, they're awesome. They're great tools, right? I take selfies. But just think about that phrase. We live in a selfie world. Jesus' love and his attitude is not selfish. He died for you and me. And he wants us to take the same love he has for us and the same amount of forgiveness that he has for us to the person next to us, call our spouse, to the circle around us, call our family, but more importantly, to the circle around us called the world. So join with me today. Let me close with one of my favorite passages. And it's in Joshua chapter 24. And it simply says, I choose you this day whom you will serve. It said in Colossians, clothe yourself today. Choose today these virtues. It talked about in 1 John, choose love because we love because he first loved us. It's a choice. We serve a God that gives us free will because he wants our heart. He doesn't want us to have a checklist relationship. He wants to have a heart relationship with us. And through that heart relationship, we can love and we can forgive and we can serve him today. So don't let the sun go down today without taking one action to show the attitude of Christ or the love of Christ to your family. Thank you so much for the privilege of being here today. And I'm going to wrap it up and give it back over to John.